Officially the biggest market share commercial radio show on the dial. The Frank Mitchell Phone-In. Monday to Friday, 9 until noon on U105.
So you were fully aware of the tragedy as the game progressed?
Yes, I happened to go on the concourse when the players were taken off the pitch when the hailstones came, and one of his friends approached me to say that they'd been told that they had passed away, and I was able to make contact with one of the group he was travelling with, and they confirmed it for me. So at that point, I knew that the man had lost his life, and then obviously we sort of had notified the IFN, the PSNI liaison officers, who were then able to go and verify it. So for the remainder of the game, I was fully aware of it, and you know, it was quite difficult to win because I did want my team to win, but the noise feeling was appropriate for me because I knew, but I did sort of keep it to myself until the end of the game, and then I told my friends, and I think people certainly, I'd say that, enjoyed the match, and it was great to see so many supporters there. It was just like being at a home game, but for me personally, it was sort of a difficult position to be in because you just didn't feel it was appropriate to be singing and jumping about with everyone else.
And Gary, that is completely understandable, and I appreciate you saying that because that is vital to emphasise. And you're in a position as the chair of the Amalgamation of Supporters Clubs. You have a liaison role between all the agencies involved. The actual supporters as a group, is there, or as a unit, or you as a representative, is there anything on the ground that you can do to assist the Rainey family?
Well, basically, we had a plan in place for you know, if something very serious happened, which I have to say, you don't think you will need, but you have to have a contingency in place. And I mean, we would have led your communication also with the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, and there's a sort of demarcation where our role ends and theirs begin. And for example, with Darren Rogers, the Foreign Office contacted me to notify me of the death of a Northern Irish supporter Monday morning, and I began the liaise with the police and the IFA. What happens when someone has lost their life is that we then put them in touch with the Foreign Office, and they will deal directly with the family. We'll make sure that the police or the SCO will ensure that the next of kin are notified. Sadly, in this case, Mr. Rainey's brother was at the game, and he was notified there, and the rest of the family were told. But then the Foreign Office will step in, they will make arrangements to have the body returned home and so on. So at that point, once we have made sure that the family are notified and the PSNI and the IFA know, then that's where our role stops, because it's then for the Foreign Office, it's theirs, and we wouldn't want to be seen to interfere, because you know, that's the FCO's role to deal with that.
It is a reminder of how important a role you volunteers, and you are a group of volunteers who do assist the fans whenever they travel, or indeed you assist them here at home too. Sadly, you've been incredibly busy for heartbreaking reasons this season.
Yes, I mean, we've dealt with all sorts of inquiries. I mean, yesterday we had about 20 of our ambassadors from the fans' embassy out on the ground with their t-shirts on, handing out maps and showing people how to get to the stadium and what stations use and so on. And even this morning, dealt with small queries, like a group from a primary school in Cookstown left their flag at the stadium and could we help them to return it. So we expect to deal with things like that, how people get their passport replaced and so on. And when we do have a contingency for the more serious end of it, we in all my years as involved in the supporters group, have never had to deal with that at an away game. And sadly, now we've had to deal with it twice in the space of 4 days, which I have to say, it's, you know, it's quite difficult for us.
Well, Gary, I can understand how you are down this morning. I absolutely can understand how you are feeling lower this morning than we would have expected you to, considering it was such a mammoth victory. And it was, there's no getting away from it. In terms of football, it was one of the great victories. The caravan moves on to Paris now. Do you believe the team can qualify?
Yes, I do. I think every non-Irish supporter who was able to read a group table and look at all the group tables after last night, I think the 3 points might well be enough to take us through. Obviously, we will come third in our group unless we beat Germany, which, you know, you can never rule it out in football. But All it takes is two of the Saxons, two of the other groups, where the third place team just doesn't win a game. The other lose two and draw one or draw two games, and as long as they finish as less than 3 points, if two of those third place teams do that, then they're through.
So the next set of games, regardless of who's playing, especially the lower teams in the section, we should be keeping a close eye on those matches.
Yes, I mean, we've looked at basically if Remain and Hull being able to draw, that would knock the third place team in that group out, because they've played two games and Remain, I think, have 1 point from six. So if they were not to beat Albania, then they would, if that was a draw, they finish with two points. And I think if you look at the Republic of Ireland's group, it's fairly evenly matched. And Saturday's fixtures will be quite interesting because, you know, you would hope maybe at Lee would win their three games and the other teams maybe draw with each other, which again would mean that the one would have 3 points. The top team would have 9 points and the others might have 2 or 3 points. So, you know, those are the groups to watch.
Could the second goal, the McGinn goal, be the difference in the end?
I think it could be, because at the moment we have a goal difference of +1. Obviously, it depends on how things go against Germany. But certainly the extra goal, I think, is a big advantage, because we're going into the German game knowing that our goal difference is positive rather than -1 as we were after the Poland game. We're now +1. So that as well could be a big factor.
If Michael O'Neill steers Northern Ireland to, say, a 0-0 against Germany, or a 1-1 or something like that, or heavens forbid we would beat them, he'll not be our manager next time round, will he?
Well, it's hard to know. I think looking at the way he celebrated the second goal yesterday, I think he would have a job trying to catch him, stop him from dancing his whole way to wherever our next match is. But look, Frank, if that were to happen, then obviously it's only speculative. Who could begrudge him it? I mean, look at what he has done for us. He's qualified us for our first tournament in 30 years. He's got us actually our biggest ever win, because all our previous wins in finals tournaments were 1-0 and 2-1. So yesterday was actually our biggest ever win. So, I mean, good luck to the guy. He's came in and transformed Northern Ireland from where we were 4 or 5 years ago to now hopefully moving on the last 16 of the Euros. So who could begrudge him it?
Absolutely. Gary, good speaking to you, and thanks for the comments. Thank you.
No problem, Frank.
Get involved with the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Call us on 90 333 105. Text us on 07 66 105 105. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, and if you've missed any of our interviews, go to u105.com/catch-up.